what God would have us preach tonight. Try to pray about this. This is what I feel impressed with. Acts chapter 13 in your Bible. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and let's begin reading verse 36. Verse 35 and 36. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Last October, we've had several family funerals. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but funerals are for the living. They're not for the dead. How are you going to help the dead? Amen. They're departed. They're not there. And so, funerals, sooner or later, they come, they have this way of bringing us to the place of, if you want to say goodbye to our loved ones or what, however you view that, a lot of people look at it a lot of different ways. But we've had some funerals here we've had to go to. Last October, our nephew, my wife's nephew up in Maryland, he's 39 years old, 36, 35 years old, and he got to feeling bad and he drove himself to the doctor and they ran some tests and come to find out he only had about 30% of his heart working. Big old guy. And they told him some things he's going to have to do, and they were going to run more tests on him later on. And just a few days later, he was out walking up the road with his mother. And Penny turns and looks at Donald and says, "Son, are you feeling okay?" He said, "Yeah, Mom, I feel okay." He took about three more steps and said, "Mom," that was it. He hit the ground. He was gone. EMS said they couldn't revive him. He was probably dead, but he hit the ground. And he was a lost man all of his life, with this exception. I was in Romania in October. Joyce got in touch with me, explained what was going on. I sent her an email. I said, "You make sure that he sees this and he reads this and does what I say do." And Joyce left a couple of days later. And in the meantime, he had told her that he wanted to talk to me. And I said, "Well," she sent me that, and I said, "Well, I won't just talk to him. I'll go see him. I'm gonna talk to him." But you know, we have a very good hope that Donald got saved.
Good.
Donald accepted Christ before he died. What a blessing that is. Amen. You say, "Brother Joe, you believe in deathbed salvation?" Well, that's better than none at all. Amen. Amen. I believe folks can get saved when you come down into the life. I haven't seen a lot of folks get saved that way, but I have seen some.
Yeah.
I know a guy named Zeke Mayberry when I first started preaching. And Zeke got saved late in life, but he got saved late in life and a week later found out he had stage 4 cancer. Man, what a thing. And I went to visit him in the hospital, and Zeke couldn't read his name if it was written up there in letters that high on that wall right there. But every day I went by there to see him, Zeke would be laying there in the bed and his wife Eulene would have their big, one of them big family coffee table Bibles sitting up in the bed with him. She got that Bible open reading to him. After about the third or fourth visit, I said, "Zeke, I got a question." He said, "What's that, preacher?" I said, "Well, every time I come by here, Eulene's always reading to you." And he said, "Yeah, I know, preacher." He said, "You know me, I didn't get saved until just a week or so ago." And he said, "They tell me I'm going to heaven here in a few days, and I just want to find out something, what it's about, before I get there." Isn't that something? But you know, we had an uncle, Joyce's uncle. He's 84 years old, and he's still really good health. I mean, body physically fit. He decides to climb a tree up behind his house and cut some tree limbs off. And I won't go through the whole story, but a limb moved and shook the ladder he was on. He fell 20-something feet, hit the ground, and he lasted about 3 days in the hospital. He was gone. He probably wasn't saved. Probably wouldn't say. So we have occasion to go to funerals every now and then. Now, In Acts chapter 13 here, Acts chapter 13, you look at verse 21, it says, "And afterward they desired a king, and David gave unto them, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he had gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill my will." Now, you know, God wanted the nation to be what we would call a theocracy. God wanted to be at the head. But you know what Israel did? They decided they wanted a king like all the other nations had kings. And so as it turns out here, they didn't necessarily want God's plan. They wanted their plan.
Right.
And so verse 23, it says, "Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Now, God was still working his plan, but here was an unerring promise that God was going to raise up a seed through David to be the son of David that would sit on the throne there, the throne of Israel. Now, look at verse 27, if you would. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." Now, here's an unusual thing. That verse of Scripture said, they that dwell at Jerusalem, because they knew him not, because they knew Jesus not, and they didn't yet, nor yet the voices of the prophets. Now they had heard the prophets. These are the leaders of Israel. But they had not paid attention to the prophets. And they would not know, they refused to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, even in not knowing the prophets, they fulfilled what the prophecy said about him. About them turning away, rejecting him, and slaying the Lord Jesus. They fulfilled all of those prophecies in themselves. There's a lot of other things we could go through and point out about this, but I want to just talk to you for just a few minutes, about how heaven sees a Christian's death. How does God see that? How does God see that? If you look here in verse 36, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." Now, how many of you have had a close loved one die? Mother, father, grandmother, son, daughter. It's a horrible thing to go through.
Right.
I remember when we buried my wife's dad. I preached his funeral. I remember when my father died and preached his funeral. Mm-hmm. And I know if the Lord doesn't come, then my 89-year-old mother, be 90 next June, you know, she's going to go that way as well. Or my mother-in-law, my grandmother, buried her, preached her funeral. I've made too many trips to the graveyard.
Right.
I remember there's a young lady in our church, and the doctors told them that her name was Cynthia, and they told Cynthia and Alan they never could have children. And lo and behold, she said, "Preacher, pray for me that we can have a baby." And so we got to pray. And sure enough, she conceived. And went for, they said, "She'll never carry it full term." Well, guess what she did? Had the prettiest little baby. Holly, what's it called? A little girl named Holly. And it wasn't long after she had come home from the hospital that they come up to the house one day. And Cynthia had suffered depression and had some other physical ailments. And she was going to have to go back to the hospital. Now, her family lived down the road. And her husband's family lived down the road. But she came up there and asked my wife, said, "Miss Joyce, would you watch my baby?" She wasn't 3 weeks old, was she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Less than a month. "Would you watch my baby while I'm in the hospital?" Mm. And Joyce said, "Sure I will."
Like that.
And so we took care of that little girl. And so she comes home. She comes home and while she's at home, she goes in there, and Alan hears her. Harold was screaming one morning, and that baby was crib dead.
Hmm.
A lot of different names they call that, you know. And I remember we went to bury little Holly. And I went down there that day to see the family. And she walks out there with a little pink outfit, a little white outfit. She says, "Pastor, which one of these do you think my baby would like to wear?" How am I going to answer that? And, but she was a mess, and she got, it was just bad. It was just bad. The depression and everything else.
Sir.
I made too many trips to the grave. Okay? Here's what I want you to see. When God looked at David here, God looked at David and says, For David, after he has served his own generation by the will of God. You know, the first thing I understand about that passage is that David, when you think about David, you think about him being the last of his brothers that Samuel brought in and said, that's the one, we'll anoint him king. And you remember the story about how that he was going to take some victuals down to his brothers at the battle, and he got down there and he saw Goliath, and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he took a sling and a rock, and down he went and took a sword and cut his head off. Remember all those stories about David?
Sir.
But then there were some things that happened in David's life that wasn't about victory. And it was shameful and some horrible things. And invariably, somebody, when you think about David, people bring up something about David and Bathsheba. Horrible thing. You know, the one thing I want you to understand about this, listen to me, is that when it comes down to death, it comes down the end of the road, God never brought up, he never mentioned anything about David's past when it came down to his time of death and David going to heaven. And let me say today, if you've been saved, thank God. If you've been saved, if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, if your sins have been covered by the blood of Christ, if you've been redeemed by heaven's holy dove, if you've got a good old case of blood-bought, heaven-sent salad, listen, there's 100 ways to say it, but there's only one way to do it, and that's putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. Amen? Because when you pass out of this life, that's all there is. But all the story about our life, if it's under the blood, it's forgiven, it's forgotten. God keeps our works in a book, and we'll face them at the judgment one day. But thank God our past is never brought up again. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but my life has not been pristine. My life, I've had my shares of mistakes, ups and downs, ins and outs, rights and wrongs. Maybe you've not been that way, but I believe most folk have. Amen.
Right.
And the good part about this is what I see, when I get to heaven one day, I'll be able to thank God because I'm there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God in heaven.
Right.
That sins are forgiven and you'll get there and you'll have a forgotten past. Thanks to God. You know, sins are forgiven. And sins are forgotten. I remember when Joyce and I first got in, I don't know about how it was with you, but I still remembered my old past, man. I still remembered my old past. And I went to my pastor and I said, preacher, what am I going to do about this? And he said, well, if you do something, ask the Lord. Here's what he said. If you do something, ask the Lord to forgive you. And then you move on down the road and serve God. And I thought, well, that's great advice, but man, it wasn't working too good. But I was still remembering that old past. And I'd go down the road and I'd remember somebody, or I'd go down the road and I remember something I'd done. I'd turn the radio on and remind me of a different time and a different place and things went on in a bad place somewhere.
Yes, sir.
And I remembered all that stuff and I went down the road continuing, saying, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. And I just stayed beat down and wore out with that. And I found that verse of scripture over in Hebrews one day where he said, thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I said, hallelujah. If God ain't going to remember them, I ain't going to let the devil remind me of them. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that I didn't make some mistakes. Listen, my wife married a sailor. She didn't marry a preacher. And with everything you can think about that might mean, that's where she failed. And I had a bad mouth on me. And I remember I was on a job one day and I was doing electrical work and I was threading one of his conduit and I put a fitting on, turning a fitting on in a three-stand pipe vise and I didn't have my gloves on and I slipped, knocked the bark off my knuckle right there and I grabbed that LB and I reared off, I slung it toward a wall, I busted all the pieces, I let out an oath and I said, oh dear God, what have I done? I looked around quickly to see if anybody was there.
Sure.
But the Holy Ghost was there.
Ooh.
I remember. I can still picture it in my mind where I went. Over, crawled off in a corner behind some big pipes. And I leaned up against the wall and just kind of slid down, slumped down. And I said, oh, God, forgive me. I don't even know if I'm even saved. And I went to see my pastor again. I used to work him out, buddy. And he'd say, oh, Brother Joe, That's just the Holy Ghost working in your life. If things like that didn't happen, that'd probably be a pretty good indication you wasn't saved. And I said, well, okay, I can understand that. God's still a working. You know, I realized one day, and when I got saved, I don't know if this sounds right to you or not, so just kind of give me a little license here to talk for a minute. But I believe I repented of more sin after I got saved than before I got saved. Say, Brother Joe, what are you talking about? Because the Holy Ghost now is inside of me, and He's illuminating my life and everything that I see, and that's wrong. Don't do this, sir. And I reached to do this. No. And I repent of that. And I'm telling you, I'm just continuing to confess and confessing. First, brother, we got in. I'm telling you, the first year I lived in an altar. I lived in an altar, confessing my sin and crying out to God and asking. And God was doing a sanctifying and a cleansing work in my life day
that's
by day.
Right.
Amen. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Listen, sins are forgiven and sins are forgotten. And that forgiveness is forever. But God's still got to work on us sometimes.
Right.
But thank God the Lord never did bring up David's past. Then he says, and after it says here in verse 36, for David, after he served his own generation. Now listen, he's talking about faithful service. You know what God's interested in? I don't think sometimes God's always interested in our ability. You've heard this said many times. But if you'll let the Holy Ghost of God implant this in your heart, that God needs your availability more than He does your capability. Now let me ask you something. Turn with me to John chapter 6. I'm going to come back to Acts 13. Turn with me to John chapter 6. Would God ever ask you to do something you couldn't do? I asked a young preacher that today, and he said, no way. And I looked at him, I said, well, listen, if God wouldn't ask you to do something you can't do, then that means God's only going to do what you can do. I tell you what, we'd be in a mess if all we're going to get done is what I can do.
That's good.
Amen?
I like it.
Now here, John 6, verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Look at verse 6. And this he said to do what? To prove him, for he himself knew what he would do.
That's good.
Now listen, here's the thing. If I'm only going to serve God on what I can do, then there's no element of faith in that. There's no element of risk in that. Now, how many of you, you don't like to be in risky situations? You like it? There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Give me five. Okay. You don't like risky. See, you want it all to be laid out. You want to be in control. Amen. We want to be in control of the situation. We want to control what's going on. We want to be able to determine this thing. And I'm going to tell you what. God doesn't work like that.
That's
amen.
Right.
Listen, what you're wanting to do is live in your little safety circle or in your little box. And God, I'll promise you, is wanting to stretch you outside of that.
Amen.
Sir.
Because when He can stretch you outside of that, He'll be glorified. But if you're only going to live in your circle of safety, who's going to be glorified? It's going to be you.
Yes, sir.
Because you'll do what you can do and say, hey, that's pretty good. What do you think about that? You know, God's continually wanting to stretch us out there somewhere. And the Bible says here about David that after he had served his own generation. Listen, we can't save the generations past. Excuse me. We can't serve the generations past. And we cannot serve the generations not here. So our focus and our determination must be on those that are here right now.
So,
amen? Now, if you don't watch it, you'll be always talking about what you're going to do, and never get out what you need to do now.
That's good.
Or you'll be talking about what we used to do. And I hear a lot of preaching about what we used to do. Well, used to ain't here no more. We need to find out what we're going to do today. Amen? And the thing here is the Bible admonished and commended David for having served his own generation. Now listen, when you got saved, God put something in you. And God's got a purpose for your life. I remember talking to a friend of mine named Ted Mullins. You ever hear of a guy named Ted Mullins? Brother Ted, faithful missionary in Papua New Guinea for years and years, about 30-something years. And right after he got there, he had a heart attack. Came home, had the heart surgery, went back, say 30-something years. He had another heart attack, and so he's going to come home, do the heart surgery, and go back, and everything's going to be fine. He got home, and they tested his heart, and he's only got about 20% of his heart working. And that was after they did the surgery. And this guy, he has been a go-getter. He has planted, I don't know, man, 45, 50 churches over there in New Guinea. Hmm. He started three or four day schools, Christian day schools. He started three or four Bible colleges over there in those islands, around those mountainous areas, up in the highlands. And he's just been a war horse, brother. And he Ted told me, he said, I went through such a state of depression. He said, I went back to see my doctor one day. He said, my Presbyterian surgeon. And he said, he rolled up to me on his little stool in the chair where I was sitting. And he patted me on the knee and he said, Ted, listen. When you find God's new purpose for your life, you'll begin to heal. He's sitting there with his chest wired back together. He's all frantic and fraught and everything. And he's not healing well. And the doctor says, when you find God's new purpose for your life, you'll begin to heal. I listen to that. I can't help but think about how it is in Christian circles that people's lives are such a mess. And they talk about, I need this, I need this. I'm going to tell you what we need is to find God's purpose for our life. When we find that purpose, hallelujah. Then our lives can recount. Then our lives can really be worth something to the glory of God. Let me move on. It says here about David that he said after he served his own generation, the Bible says there, it says he fell on sleep. Now the blessing of that to me is that death is seen as sleep. I was asleep last night, but my alarm clock went off and I got up. Amen? You understand that? One of these days, help me here. There's going to be a sound of the trump and the voice of the archangel, right? And then it says what? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the old man preached my ordination many, many years ago. He told me one day, he said, Brother Joe, he said, I hope I'm down in the graveyard when the Lord comes back. I said, Brother Waters, what are you talking about? He said, well, I hope I'm standing down there between mom and daddy's grave, because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. He said, and he said, about the time they get ground high, it says that we which are alive remains be caught up together. He said, I just get mom in one hand, daddy in the other, we'll go on and meet the Lord. Well, no, I don't know if that's true. You know what that is? That's preaching like some preaching. It might not mean a thing. I don't know. But it's a nice thought. But the reality is, on that great getting up morning, ain't it good news. Amen?
Yes, sir.
One of these days, the Lord's coming back, and with a shout and the voice of the archangel, we're going to get out of this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Yep. We're getting up from the grave. Death is described as sleep. It's described as sleep from which we will be awakened. I got a bunch of verses of scripture on that. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know what that is? Listen to me. Your life is like a letter. Anybody ever get a letter in the mail? Well, sure you have. I got some letters the other day. But the reality is, we get a letter in the mail and you reach in your pocket and you get out your knife and you open that knife up. You slip that thing down the side and you close your knife up. You close your knife up, put it away. And then you reach inside that thing and you throw away the envelope because it's what's inside is important. This old thing here is like an envelope. One of these days I'll have it used up by them, but I'm going to throw it aside. But it's what's down on the inside is important. Amen? Yeah. We're going to ascend to meet the Lord in the air.
That's good.
Now I want you to look at this. I'm going to read the verse one more time. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. And then it says, and was laid unto his fathers. And I believe David had a lot of things to look forward to when he got to heaven. And I believe there's folks on the other side that was excited to see him, and he was excited to get on the other side to see them. I believe he was anxious to see his father Jesse and to see his brothers. That would have been a big deal. I believe it would have been exciting for him to see Samuel, that one that anointed him. I believe it had been great. I believe he was looking forward to seeing Jonathan.
Yeah, that's good.
Jonathan, the friend of his soul. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And maybe there was Jesse, but Jesse's daddy was Obed, and Obed's mom and daddy was Boaz and Ruth. I bet he was looking forward to seeing him too.
I bet so.
How that she was a part of the lineage of Christ.
Uh-huh.
How that was recorded down. Somehow or other, I think, and I don't know, just in my thinking, I think there was a little baby in heaven. David said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. I bet he's looking forward to seeing that little baby one day. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So here's how heaven sees the death of a Christian. Forgotten past, a faithful service. David fell on sleep, and all of us are just going to ease off to sleep one of these days. Thank God we're going to get up and see our home, our family in heaven. I've got a lot of them there.
Yes, sir.
A grandmother, a grandfather that I don't remember seeing. A grandmother, we called her Ma, that I grew up around. A lot of good memories about Ma. I've got some cousins that's gone and such. My dad, I think about my dad so often. My dad got saved late in life. My dad hardly ever said anything to me about my preaching. But every now and then he'd walk up and lay that big, huge hand on my shoulder, on this shoulder, and he'd lean over and whisper in my ear, "Stay in that book, son. Just stay in that book."
Yeah.
That's what it'd say.
Yes, it's
looking forward to seeing my dad one day. Looking forward to seeing Joyce's dad one day. Had some good times. He and I did fishing and oystering, crabbing up there in the Chesapeake Bay. I've got some dear preacher friends of mine. Outrun us on this side, stepped over on the other. That old pastor I told you about worrying to death, he's in heaven today. His daddy, Brother J.B. Waters, he's in heaven today. Brother Jack Woods had a great mark in my life. Brother Jack, I miss Brother Jack too, and a lot of others. Thank God we're going to see him one day face to face. Amen.
Sir.
Amen.